Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Great. It's beautiful down here, and we've got friends coming down from the Big Ten, and we're going to show them how they tailgate in the SEC, so it should be a good weekend.
Excellent. What's the fall like?
Brutally cold. It's highs in the 70s, typically sunny.
Today we're going to talk about kidney stones, nephrolithiasis, but particularly in children. By way of background, the incidence of these stones varies worldwide. Interestingly, there are some high endemic areas. Turkey and Thailand lead the list of kidney stones. Back here in the United States, the diagnosis is made in about one out of every 5,000 hospital admissions, that is, hospital admissions for kids. However, that may be a gross underrepresentation since a lot of these kids actually never get to the hospital. The prevalence also varies by region within the United States, and I hate to tell you, Mark, but it looks like the southeastern part of the United States is substantially higher.
We've got a lot of happy urologists around here, I tell you.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they call it the kidney stone belt where we are. All these people with, you know, settled by English, pale-skinned English folks who, you know, and their descendants are now living in this, you know, near tropical climate, and they get dehydrated and drink a lot of tea. So, great combination.
Well, and it is, again, the data confirms what you're saying, which is that this is much more common in Caucasians and is a rare phenomena in African-American kids. Mm. Of all the different kinds of stones that I'm not going to review, in kids, calcium oxalate about 50%, followed by calcium phosphate. Again, risk factors for these kidney stones are identified in about 3/4 of kids. In most, they're associated with some sort of urinary metabolic abnormality, often with UTIs and sometimes with structural renal or urinary outflow tract abnormalities. Now, here comes the punch, which is the diagnosis. You know, the diagnosis of nephrolithiasis is usually suspected by the clinician based on history, and it's then the clinician's job to figure out how they're going to confirm the diagnosis, which brings us to this week's article. It asks the clinical question, which radiologic test should be ordered first in evaluating suspected urolithiasis in children? The article was published in the Journal of Urology. Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, this is was a prospective cohort study, and they had they found 50 kids, consecutive kids under age 18, who came in with signs or symptoms of an acute kidney stone. And they were trying to compare ultrasound to CT, and you know, one of the disadvantages of ultrasound in adults is that we tend to get thicker in the middle, and particularly here in the kidney stone belt, we get very thick around the middle. And so maybe kids who are skinnier are really usually skinnier, better candidates for ultrasound. So each of these kids had an ultrasound and a CT within an hour of each other, and there was one radiologist on call who read each study, but then two other radiologists who were blinded to the clinical information also independently reviewed each scan to confirm the diagnosis. They had pediatric urologists also independently review the clinical data and the official reading of first the ultrasound and then the CT whenever there were discordant findings to kind of resolve that and arrive at a gold standard. They found stones on CT in about 2/3, 68% of kids, and the ultrasound saw them in 52%, so a little bit less sensitive. The average stone size missed by ultrasound was 2.3 millimeters, though, so it was missing small stones and the kind that often pass without doing anything and kinds we, you know, it's nice to know about, but, you know, they're going to pass and we don't want to be getting overly interventional with these kids. Overall, ultrasound was less sensitive than CT, so it was about 76% versus 99%. So you're going to miss about one out of four stones. Specificity was nearly identical, 100%, actually a little more specific than the CT. There were discrepancies between ultrasound and CT 16 times, but about half of those, again, the urologist said it wouldn't have changed what they did because they would have passed on their own. In some of the other nine discrepancies, observation would have been appropriate in some cases, or possibly CT. So bottom line was that the ultrasound identified almost all of the clinically important stones in children coming in with a suspected stone. And obviously, huge benefit to these kids if you can avoid a lot of the routine CTs. They're much more radio sensitive at that age, and certainly pelvic and abdominal CTs give you a very high dose in the wrong place. So if we can avoid that in a large percentage of these children, I think that'd be a great thing.
Right. My research here suggests that about 400 chest x-rays is the equivalent of an ultrasound, excuse me, of a CT scan of that area. So, mm-hmm. And as you say, it's directed at perhaps the most vulnerable of places. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a significant, a measurable increase in the risk of malignancy from each abdominal pelvic CT. And particularly at that young age. So we really need to be cautious about that and begin with the ultrasound, and then only if it's really clinically indicated, you know, there's persistent symptoms, you really are not sure what's going on, it's going to affect the decision you make, then consider getting the CT.
Right. You know, the other thing that's interesting, it isn't very useful to clinicians, but I found it interesting, and that is that if you look within a hospital at all the kids that have kidney stones detected, about a fifth to as many as a quarter of them, of the kidney stones, that is, are completely incidental findings. In other words, picked up when the CT scan was ordered for some other reason.
Yeah.
So it is to say that even when we do find a stone, it certainly sounds like some of these are not going to be symptomatic.
Yep.
Again, the ones that we would be ordering are clearly for people with symptoms. Well, interesting. That it's very helpful. It's one of those very clinically useful things. And we will begin in my clinic to start going with the ultrasound first. Thanks for your advice. Talk to you again next week.
Okay.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.